Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Back for part three of their Building a Private Cloud with System Center 2012 SP1. Keith Mayer and Young Cho show us how to deploy and upgrade to System Center 2012 SP1 Virtual Machine Manager. Tune in as they introduce some key VMM components and take us through an in-depth deployment and upgrading demo. Keith, the mic is yours.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode three in our TechNet Radio series on building a private cloud with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 and Windows Server 2012. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm an IT Pro Technical Evangelist at Microsoft on the U.S. team. And with me, I also have, again, Young Chow, one of my colleagues also on the U.S. team. Hey, Young, how's it going?
Hey, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Chow again from North Carolina. It's a great day to It's a clear blue sky, but I also have some private cloud in my backyard. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Okay. Well, great. Well, hey, if you've been following our series so far, you'll remember that in episode one, we started off looking at what is a private cloud all up. And we talked about really several aspects of being able to take our physical and virtualized infrastructure that many of us have within our data center today, or taking cloud services provided by public cloud platforms like Windows Azure's IaaS services, infrastructure as a service, and being able to fold those into more of a meaningful, manageable, and elastic private cloud fabric that we can then delegate access to, set resource controls upon, and be able to track from a chargeback or showback standpoint. And I know the overall discussion that we have on all of the System Center components working together can be somewhat complex when you look at them all at once, like we have on the slide. But today we're going to be primarily focusing on System Center Virtual Machine Manager, the component of the System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 suite that allows us to begin enabling our private cloud vision with the fabric infrastructure that we have in place. And that's normally when you're looking at evolving from a physical or heavily virtualized data center environment to private cloud. Using our stack, normally my recommendation for most IT pros is to begin that voyage by leveraging, by deploying and beginning to leverage System Center Virtual Machine Manager. But Young, what do you say? Is that similar to your guidance as well? Is that where you would start?
I think that's where I will start because, you know, we talk about cloud computing, and cloud computing, one of the enabling technology is virtualization. So you got to put your virtual infrastructure in place first. And in System Center Suite, the virtualization engine or the management engine is the virtual machine manager. So I think it's absolutely logical and it makes sense to start with virtual machine manager.
Okay, great. And as we had discussed in episode one, that underlying foundational virtualization infrastructure, the foundation for our private cloud, could be made up of several components. You know, most of you out there live in a multi-vendor world in your enterprise. You have multiple storage vendors, multiple networking vendors, and potentially multiple virtualization vendors. And as we had discussed in episode one of the big changes in Service Pack 1 is the ability now to support not only Windows Server 2012, which we're really excited about, but also VMware vSphere 5 and Citrix Xen Server 6. Now, certainly, if you're looking to begin developing that private cloud foundation, perhaps you don't feel that you have a foundation to begin from yet. Windows Server 2012 offers a whole lot in terms of being able to prepare a very elastic private cloud foundation for virtualization and storage that you can either choose to scale up or scale out. And in episode two, we talked a little bit about preparing that private cloud foundation. So as you bring in Windows Server 2012 into the mix, we talked about being able to build out a very cost-effective Hyper-V host cluster leveraging either Hyper-V Server 2012, our free hypervisor product, or Windows Server 2012 Standard or Data Center Edition, and then being able to scale out your storage as well by leveraging Windows Server 2012 in terms of a file share cluster. Now, of course, as we mentioned in episode 2, and if you missed it, it's certainly available for you to go back and review episode 2. But as we mentioned, you may start off, and based on your needs, you may start off in a smaller configuration. Maybe you just have a couple Hyper-V hosts all up, and you want to directly attach them to storage. You certainly can do that very cost-effectively as part of a scale-up initiative. But as you start thinking about growing that foundation for your private cloud, having a scale-out, being able to move into a scale-out configuration, just makes a lot of sense. And I see IT pros out in the field really choosing either way, either the scale up or the scale out configuration that we looked at in episode 2, depending on the overall enterprise needs, the growth, the number of virtual machines, the number of Hyper-V hosts or other virtualization hosts that they may project needing to support their goals. But Young, what about you? What are you seeing IT pros vying towards? Scale up, scale out, different configuration for the foundation?
I mean, certainly scale up or scale out allows have something to do with what kind of workload you're talking about, right? And certainly, I mean, everything has something to do with your budget. But if you are talking about really computing intensive, very number crunching type of thing, a lot of time we scale up, right? We get you more CPU, sure. We get you more RAM, right? We scale up. But if you're talking more like the front end type of thing, right? I just need to have a lot of working ends for me. And so then you can definitely scale out. I think either you scale up or scale out. I think the good thing about System Manager is, System Center is, it gives you that capability that you want to go either way. You have that option. In particular for Virtual Machine Manager, because it's designed for private cloud, it's all about scalability. Either direction you want to go, there's an opportunity for you.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree, Young. I think it really, having the flexibility to either scale up or scale out, I think is part of the value of, as we start looking at our data center fabric, the underlying foundation to our private cloud, being able to leverage technologies like we've got in Windows Server 2012 or Hyper-V Server 2012 to scale up or scale out as appropriate for the workloads and the business needs you have, but still leverage commodity hardware so that, the magic in these cases is really, really in the software itself. But where we left off on episode 2 was really looking at our kind of our hardware fabric infrastructure, nothing that really that gave us a private cloud in and of itself. The private cloud foundation is really the foundational fabric for then pulling everything together and building that private cloud environment using System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager Service Pack 1 and also the other System Center 2012 suite components. So as we start looking at this hardware foundation across compute, storage, and networking, the next logical step is thinking about how do we start evolving our management of this into more of a private cloud environment. And in the System Center suite, that starts with VMM. VMM, Virtual Machine Manager, is the initial component that allows us to grab hold of that hardware infrastructure, bring it into a central management console, and then begin carving that out as one or more private clouds that have resource allocations, delegation, service templates all associated with them. And certainly as we're thinking about deploying System Center 2012 Service Pack 1, a lot of that hinges around deploying the virtual machine manager management server. The management server is really intended as the central place that as administrators of our private cloud or as end users of the private cloud, maybe application owners, for instance, or business unit IT, they could open up a management console, establish a direct management connection into the management server, and then behind the scenes, the management server, in turn, is connected out to a database for storing all of the fabric resources, the security rules, our cloud resource allocations, information about our templates. So we have a connection to a database server running on SQL Server 2012 or 2008 R2, and a library server that essentially is a big folder share or set of folder shares that allow us to store virtual machine templates. They allow us to store virtual hard disks, virtual floppy disks, application ISO images, custom scripts, components that we want to be able to leverage again and again as part of our templatized workload offerings that we're deploying on top of a private cloud. Now, the first question I usually get when I'm talking with IT pros is, wow, how many servers do I need to manage a private cloud? Do I need a separate management server, a separate database server, a separate library server? And certainly, you know, you could separate those out in a small environment. If you're just getting started, though, and you have just a small number of hosts, small number of storage control, storage arrays and whatnot, you certainly can co-locate all of these roles together on a single server that's either a physical server or a virtualized server. So you can have your management server, database server, library server living together. And if you want to see some of the sizing guidance around how to think about, you know, do I put them all together or do I separate them out, I'd encourage you to go out to the TechNet library for System Center at technet.microsoft.com. They have lots of great guidance on, based on the number of hosts, the number of virtual machines, what you should be thinking about in terms of separated roles on separate servers or consolidated roles on a single server. They also give guidance as to the hardware configurations as well. Young, from your standpoint, does that make sense from your standpoint? Is that normally the approach that
yes,
you take?
I think one nice thing about this, the way you laid it out is the management server, it's like the hub, right? It knows which, where, when, what, everything about this whole that we're going to build. And the database is actually where you store all this configuration. It's like your blueprints, right? It may not actually have the resource object there, but it has all the blueprint, knowing where to find, who can access to it. And then you have this library server, which is a repository of all your building blocks, right? Yep. Those are the resources that's available for you, so you can build your private cloud, build your fabric, build your private cloud. So it's nicely kind of logically construct them. And then, as you indicated, they are logical constructs, so they can be separate or they can be physically together, which is really up to, you know, whatever the environment you have. You may start it all together and gradually kind of fan out, right? And, you know, so you have different options.
Yep, definitely, definitely. Yeah, you can think of, like you were saying, you can think of the management server as the hub or the intelligence over governing and managing your private cloud. And the database server and library server are really repositories for either sets of rules or security or metadata around your private cloud or templates and application installation ISO images and scripts and whatnot that are used for deploying application workloads. Beyond these three key roles that are part of virtual machine manager, what we know as virtual machine manager, there are also some other roles that are out on the network that are really part of Windows Server generally, but virtual machine manager can certainly leverage those roles. Two of the key roles are Windows Deployment Services and WSUS, Windows Server Update Services. If you have WDS and WSUS servers already in your environment, Virtual Machine Manager can leverage those for deploying new hosts and also for keeping hosts and guests up to date. So there's a fair amount of compliance and update management support that's built into Virtual Machine Manager for provisioning and keeping up to date your hypervisor host fabric and the virtual machines that run on top of that. Now, aside from these roles, certainly then there's the fabric components that we looked at in episode 2 that we'd be bringing in to Virtual Machine Manager so that it can begin taking action on centrally managing all of those components. So when we think about, you know, compute resources that are out in our data center foundational fabric, like virtualization hosts or virtualization host clusters, we bring those in typically after installing VMM. We bring those in, and in order to manage them, there'd be a VMM agent that gets deployed to your Windows Server 2012 hosts and Hyper-V hosts, or for the non-Windows Server platforms like VMware vSphere, the management connection is really through the vSphere management agent itself for managing the underlying ESXi hosts and whatnot. So we've got our virtualization hosts or clusters of hosts. We've got our storage arrays, or if we're using Windows Server 2012 with continuous availability scale-out file shares, though that storage could be certainly brought into VMM and managed through VMM SP1 as well as a storage repository for storing virtual machines. And typically, VMM would talk to those storage providers through either SMIS, the standard storage management interface, or another standard interface, the SMP provider. So if you're using third-party storage, you'd want to make sure that it conforms to either the SMIS management interface provider spec or the SMP provider specification. Both are industry standard, both are widely supported out in the industry for allowing management servers to talk to storage. And then we have our network devices. So we've got load balancers and networks that are either, and subnets that are either physical or virtual. We've got gateways and whatnot. And so for having the virtual machine manager talk to those network devices on our network and be able to manage them, we've got configuration providers that our partners provide for their network devices. They snap into the virtual machine manager console through the settings of your console, and virtual machine manager can then automatically learn about their current configuration and capabilities and allow you to leverage those advanced network configurations as part of your application service templates as you're deploying out new workloads in your private cloud. So the idea here is that virtual machine manager is kind of plugged into the infrastructure, the other infrastructure components it needs in terms of database server, library server, WSS server, and together all those servers across the top are working together to manage the fabric resources across the bottom, the compute, storage, and network fabric resources. So when we think about the steps involved in deploying new workloads then, well, VMM running over on the management server would talk to the VMM agent and to your storage, and one of the first things it would do is, following the templates you've set up, is it would provision and assign storage to your hosts for supporting new virtual machine workloads. And then after that, it would do a similar matter of configuring out your network devices and your physical or virtualized subnets so that the hosts that are going to be supporting your virtualized work, your new virtualized workloads, will have access to those network devices. And then the agent is told to download the templates from the library server. So you can actually have multiple library servers. If you have a complex multi-site data center environment, you can have library servers at every single site that you have your virtualization hosts and try to localize that traffic of pulling down large virtual machine images or ISO images for initializing and spinning up your virtual machines. So we've got a couple virtual machines that are spinning up automatically through System Center Virtual Machine Manager. And really, together, all of these components are what's enabling us to take our fabric infrastructure and treat it as a private cloud. So we can, once we bring all of this into Virtual Machine Manager, begin managing it, we can overlay and abstract on top of that the concept of one or more private clouds that have different tiers of resource standards and different allocations of resources and different levels of delegation, so that we have a lot of flexibility in presenting the view to data center resources through private clouds that our various business units and departments and whatnot need for the application workloads that they're supporting, that they're tasked with supporting. So that kind of gives an overview of System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Virtual Machine Manager and major roles of how it's laid out. Now, one change that we've introduced with Service Pack 1 is we now have the opportunity to take some of these critical roles, like the management server and the supporting roles for database and library server repositories, and make them highly available on their own cluster. And the reason we've done that is, as we talked with Enterprise IT Pros, a lot of you were looking at our architecture and saying, you know, I would really want to make some of these critical components that are managing all of the other compute, storage, and network resources in my environment highly available so that they're self-standing and they themselves are highly available in the event that we have any type of physical outage on the infrastructure that our management server or database server or library server are sitting on top. And so starting with Service Pack 1, we now have the ability, if you so choose, to actually use Windows Server 2012 failover clustering and have either a host or a guest cluster of management servers to make them highly available. And we can take that same approach with the database servers and the library servers. So the database servers would leverage SQL Server 2012 failover clustering. The library servers would leverage our Windows Server 2012 failover clustering for shared file access. And take that approach across the entire management fabric component, across the entire set of components that are managing our fabric, and you now have a highly available management solution for managing your highly available fabric that your application workloads are running on. Well, Young, as you go through and look at the new capabilities that SP1 unlocks in terms of private cloud management and high availability, are there other areas or perhaps the same areas that your IT pros and your community get really excited about when they see?
Well, the highly available capability definitely is something that's essential when you talk about cloud computing, because a service level agreement that you need to maintain with high availability, that really gives you put you in a different level, right? Now, let me go back a little bit to what you have just laid out, and sure. I want to provide you a kind of a different perspective. If you look at how we build the private cloud, what you have laid out here are really all this hardware that we put in place, and then we have the management software on top of it. For instance, you put in the virtual machine manager, then you have a database supported, and you have the repository, right, give you all these building blocks, and eventually you have your storage and server. But if you kind of look into it, it's really back to what you laid out in the first two episodes, that we are building the three resource pool, right?
Sure.
We're building the compute resource pool, which is our server. That includes your server virtualization server, the Hyper-V host. That includes your WSUS server, right? That includes all those servers that give you that capability to do server virtualization, to patch them, to roll it out, to deploy that. Then you also have have the storage. You talk about a lot about clustering. There's also storage virtualization that in first two episodes you talk about the storage space and all that. That all plug in, right? That all make the connection right there. And then you also have the network piece. So we're back to what we're talking about. The fundamental resource pool for the fabric is the compute, the storage, the networking, which is yep. laid out nicely in the slide that managed by the virtual machine manager. So basically, we are talking about building the fabric. Now, in terms of those virtual machines, those were instance, right? So once you build up the fabric, and then you can deploy it out to your user, and that's individual instance that you can deploy on above the fabric. So logically, it really makes sense, and I think it's essential for IT pro to understand the whole methodology behind it, such that when they start building, you know, the storage, building the cluster, building the network, you know, okay, which part this fits in, right? So you won't get lost. You kind of know the whole strategy of it, and then you go kind of into this, build it up and glue them all together, and then there is your fabric.
Yep, great point. Yeah, together all of the components that we were looking at on our slide really provide us with the private cloud solutions that we can offer for hosting application workloads, definitely. And so we've talked about virtual machine manager and the architecture with the various components and whatnot. Well, let's see how easy it is to get started in deploying System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 virtual machine manager together. So here we are in our demo environment, and I've gone through the process of building out Windows Server 2012 as the core operating system, and I've also integrated it into our Active Directory domain and installed SQL Server in our VM, in our virtual machine for virtual machine manager. So now I'm going to launch the virtual machine manager installation. So I'm just going to double click on a shortcut that I have to the installation, so that we can step through the installation process together. So now the first thing it'll ask us for is name. So we'll just plug in our name here and organization. And if you're just evaluating Virtual Machine Manager, you can actually leave the product key field blank If you've already purchased and licensed it, you can certainly plug it in here, though. But the cool thing about Virtual Machine Manager in terms of product activation is even if you initially go through an Evaluation Edition install, after the installation, at any point in time prior to the expiration of the 180-day eval, you can go into the console and very easily activate it just by plugging in your product keys. We see a lot of IT pros starting off in their pilot environment or proof of concept environment with testing the eval version, and then as they move towards production and move the Virtual Machine Manager into their production environment, they can just relicense it without having to go back through the reinstall. For now, I'm just going to leave it as a blank product key, click the next button, and I will agree that I've read and understood the license agreement. I spent time earlier before our episode making sure I understood it, and I'm willing to participate in our customer experience improvement program, so I'll select that option and click Next. And I'm going to also specify that I want to turn on Microsoft Update so that the end of the installation process, as well as periodically, if there's updates to System Center 2012 Virtual Machine Manager, I can get those through the automatic update process. Now, in terms of my database configuration, I'm now prompted for the name of my database server. And as we said a little earlier in our episode, we can use the same server in a smaller environment as a management server, database server, and library server, or we can spread those roles out across separate physical or virtual server instances. In my case, I'm going to use the same server, so this is the server name that I'm currently consoled into installing VMM on. This is also the server that has Microsoft SQL Server already installed. I'm just going to plug in the default port. And if I had to use a separate set of credentials other than what I've logged in to the console with to access my SQL Server with server admin privileges, I could specify those credentials here. In my case, I should be able to just pull this down and authenticate as my same user account. And I see my default Microsoft SQL Server instance name. And I'm going to specify that I'd like to create a new database for Virtual Machine Manager 2012 SP1. It'll be called by default Virtual Manager DB. That'll be used as the database repository. So I'll just click my Next button after I've filled those fields out. And now it'll ask us to configure our service account for System Center Virtual Machine Manager. As a best practice, I normally recommend using a domain account, so I'll just plug in my domain account information. I previously created a user account called scadmin, so I'll key in that username and the password that I configured when I initially created it using my Active Directory User and Computers tool. And it also, on this screen, gives me an opportunity to enable distributed key management. Distributed key management is used to store the encryption keys that Virtual Machine Manager uses to securely connect and send and receive management information to each of the VMM agents. It allows us to store that information in Active Directory. And as a best practice, I usually recommend making sure that we check this option. That way, all of your encryption keys are stored external to your Virtual Machine Manager itself, to your Virtual Machine Manager instance. And if you should ever need to reinstall Virtual Machine Manager or have issues where you need to restore or whatnot, you don't have to worry about all of those encryption keys being stored on the same machine. If you're using a highly available clustered installation of VMM, this is also a requirement. So if you use one of the highly available configurations we talked about a few moments ago, you'll want to make sure you enable distributed key management. So once I've done that, I need to provide a location and Active Directory that I wish Virtual Machine Manager to store these encryption keys. So it's a container that needs to be set up in advance. You can use ADSI Edit to set that up under the root of your domain with a similar path to what we have here. If you need the specific steps involved in doing so, I'd encourage you to go out to our TechNet library site at technet.microsoft.com, and there's a step-by-step walkthrough on doing just that. So a little earlier, I had created my distributed key management container. And I'm just going to specify the fully qualified name in Active Directory to that container path. So I called the container name VMM DKM,
and I put it in the root of my Active Directory domain. So we'll key that in, and then I'll click the next button. Now that I've done that, the next step it's going to ask me about is configuring my initial library share. So as we talked about a little earlier, the library is used to store virtual machine templates, virtual machine hard disks, floppy disks, ISO images, scripts, anything that we want to leverage as a repeatable component for deploying our private cloud resources. And by default, it'll create a library share for me on my same server, my VMM server. I can also, if I previously had set up a library share name before installing VMM, maybe on a clustered location, I can also specify that instead of creating that default share, I want to use an existing library share. In my case, I'll just create the new library share. This will be the first share that will get created. You can certainly browse out and select an alternate location on one of your data volumes on your Virtual Machine Manager server. And then once Virtual Machine Manager is installed, you can use the VMM console to add additional library shared folders on other servers. So if you do have a multi-site environment, you can create as many library shares as you'd like and associate them with particular groups of hosts at particular locations within your worldwide network. So I'll leave my library share configuration options set the way they are, click the next button, and now it's going to give me a summary of my installation of the roles that I'm installing, the management server and the console roles, where my database is going to be located, where my service account is. It also gives me a nice summary of all the communication ports that are used for communicating to and from the Virtual Machine Manager server. So you'll notice that for communicating with the console itself, that goes over port 8100. To communicate with agents, the VMM agents that are running on hosts or library servers, that goes over TCP 5985. Those are the two most common ports for VMM communication. But then there are also other ports for doing file transfers. If you're using WDS, there's 8102 through 8103 as well. And you'll want to make sure after installing VMM that these ports are opened within your firewall infrastructure. If you have firewalls between the subnet that your virtual machine manager is running on and your hosts, you'll want to make sure that these ports are open and communication is allowed. It also has me confirm my initial library share location and name, and that I'm using Microsoft Update to receive automatic updates. So once I've confirmed that all of those settings are correct, I can click the Install button, and it'll begin the installation process, going through installing the Virtual Machine Manager management server and the VMM console on this local server box. And so we finished the installation of System Center Virtual Machine Manager, and I've brought up the Virtual Machine Manager console, and I'm over in the navigation area of the Virtual Machine Manager console. So you'll see that there's a number of different application bars for managing virtual machines and services, your fabric component, libraries, jobs, which are used in the background by Virtual Machine Manager for doing all of its management and provisioning tasks, and then overall settings. And the first time that I launch Virtual Machine Manager, I go over to the fabric area because that's where I can start bringing in my compute servers, my virtualization hosts and host clusters, my networking components, and my storage components as well. And so the way that I bring those in is up on the ribbon bar in the fabric area. I can click on Add Resources, and I've got all of my various components that I can now add in. So if I had Hyper-V hosts or clusters or Citrix Zen server or VMware ESX hosts or clusters or vCenter servers, I can bring those in easily right from the Add Resources bar. If I had additional library servers, or if I was using Windows Deployment Services, I can bring in additional library servers or Pixie servers for WDS. If I'm using WSUSE in my environment to apply update management, I can also bring in the update server or servers that I'm using in my environment. And then for network and storage, I have the ability to bring in my load balancers, any virtual switch extensions that I might be using for Hyper-V, and any gateways that are used for connecting between virtualized networks and physical networks. I also have the ability to bring in storage devices as well. And as I begin bringing in all of these components, for instance, I had previously gone through the process of adding in my Hyper-V hosts and clusters. I can just step through the process of bringing in those Hyper-V hosts or clusters. It will inventory, as it brings those hosts and clusters, inventory each of those hosts and clusters and bring them in under management of the Virtual Machine Manager console. So here we have a few different hypervisor hosts. I've got my VMM server itself, and it tells me they're all responding. It knows they're all responding because as part of the process of adding these hypervisor hosts and the management server, VMM deployed a management agent to these servers. And that management agent is what it pings on a regular basis to make sure those components are responding and up. And it's also the agent that it uses to communicate provisioning or management changes out to each of those hosts. And then I would do the similar steps for networking and storage. I'm not going to do it right now because in future episodes we'll actually be fleshing out each of these components of our fabric in more detail. But just bringing these hosts in initially gives me a lot of value because what it allows me to do is instead of treating each of those hypervisor hosts as separate, discrete islands of virtualization within my data center that I have to manage separately, I can now bring in all of my virtualization hosts and then under VMs and services be able to get a top-level view of all the virtual machines and all of the applications that are running all across any host that's within my environment. Again, this could be whether it's Hyper-V hosts or Windows Server 2012 hosts, VMware hosts, or Citrix Zen Server hosts. So this in and of itself allows me to start taking a look at exactly what I have already running virtualized within my data center, and then gives me a lot of great input into thinking about how I might consolidate that fabric as I start moving towards the process of building out private clouds leveraging these resources. So, again, we won't go through a lot on the VMM console because we have future episodes coming up where we're going to go in depth, but that's the main couple first steps that I do as I'm going through Virtual Machine Manager the first time to get a better sense of what is running virtualized within my environment. Young, how about you? When you first launched VMM the first time, is there anything additional that you normally step through?
I think what's important, you look at the interface, is on the lower left corner you have those different groups or workspace, if you call it, like for instance VM and services, and then you have fabric, library, and all that. These are really important groups, if you will. For instance, if you look at the VMs and services, those are a destination of your deployment. That's where you actually deploy out your services and your virtual machine in the future. So that's the destination. The fabric, fabric got three resource pool, and that's the network, your computing power, your storage solution, all that together that give you the fabric, which is the abstraction. Fabric indicates that you have the capability now to discover and manage all the resources that Fabric includes. So that's where you kind of put everything together, your resources, your network and everything. And then you have the library. That's your building blocks. So you know that different groups tell you where is the destination of those deployment and instances, and where's my fabric, which underline, glue everything together, give me that abstraction. And here you have this library group that give me all the library server and where the share that's available. In those share, that's my service template, that's my ISO file, that's my VHD, that's my file-based different resource that's available. And then you have the job history that shows everything that's been executed in the system. And finally, you have the setting, which is where you set the security. So this interface, actually, if you know how they organize it, it's really laid it out in some logical sense that you can find your resources or find where you want to be very quickly. For instance, if you ask me, well, if I want to know where's my network, the network is part of Fabric, you go to the Fabric, you see the network. If you want to find out, say, well, where are those virtual machines that I have deployed? Well, that's in the destination. That's your VMs and services. So kind of if you know how it's organized, it's very easy for you to navigate through this interface. So for those who are not familiar with Virtual Machine Manager, this can be overwhelming. When you first got into it, you don't know where to find what, right? But once you know how they organize it, it's actually very logical and very easy to navigate.
Yep, no, that's great. Awesome.
So we've just seen how easy it is to get Virtual Machine Manager up and running in a simple proof of concept or pilot environment and begin using it to inventory our fabric resources that currently exist across hypervisor hosts, storage, networking. We'll certainly be getting a lot more detailed on each of those components in future episodes as we move closer and closer to building out our private cloud environment to the point where we can automate service application delivery and delegate access and put resource controls on our private cloud. But one of the big questions that I get, Young, I don't know about you, from IT pros, is they may already have System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012 deployed, and they want to know, you know, what's involved with Service Pack 1? Is it just a normal service pack? I can go ahead and go out to my servers and double-click the update exe and have it roll through that service pack. And what I really see is that Service Pack 1 is a service pack in name only. It's really almost a brand new product release because of all the new features and capabilities that it offers. And I don't know if you, do you look at it that same way as well from a Service Pack 1 standpoint? I mean, it has so much that's new.
SP1 is really special. It's so significant that I think IT Pro really need to recognize the opportunity that are presented to us. And so we really need to kind of focus and move into SP1 sooner than later. This is really a very significant release. It gives us so much capability for us to do, you know, to improve our services.
Yep, definitely. And part of what I see is that, you know, with taking advantage of these new capabilities that Service Pack 1 gives us, the management server has some new requirements. You know, in the past, the management server ran on Windows Server 2008 R2. And now, to take advantage of a lot of these new capabilities that SP1's offering, we need to run the management server on Windows Server 2012 instead, so that we have the foundation for being able to plug into all of the storage and networking and scale up or scale out compute investments that the Windows Server team has made, and VMM can live on top of that. So as we're thinking about the upgrade process then, that brings up its own challenge, because if I already have VMM 2012 up and running as a management server on Windows Server 2008 R2, now I've got to do some reworking of that operating system. I have to get the operating system upgraded to 2012 as well. And so out on the TechNet library site, you'll find very descriptive upgrade guidance for upgrading Virtual Machine Manager from RTM to SP1. One of the considerations to keep in mind, though, is that if you're also leveraging other System Center 2012 RTM components in your environment, Virtual Machine Manager and App Controller should be the last two components that you update to SP1, because it's going to need all of the other System Center components that you may have already deployed out in your environment. It'll need them to be updated to SP1 first. And then if you are using the RTM version of Virtual Machine Manager and App Controller, you want to plan a common upgrade window for performing the upgrade for both Virtual Machine Manager and App Controller together, because they're tightly married together in terms of how they communicate and what resources and capabilities they expect to consume back and forth. So perform the VMM upgrade last, perform it with App Controller if you currently have App Controller in your environment. And the approach that we want to go through, because we have to upgrade the management server operating system, is to first uninstall the RTM version of VMM on the management server. We leave the database intact, so we leave the library servers intact, so that all of the metadata that's sitting out in the database and all of our templates and images and whatnot sitting out in the library server, they'll still be around. But we're uninstalling the VMM management server bits so that we can then safely and cleanly upgrade that operating system to Windows Server 2012. Once the operating system's upgraded, then we can go ahead and reinstall System Center 2012 SP1 version of VMM, and then go through the process of, during the install, you may have seen it when we were going through the initial deployment, specifying, rather than specifying a new database to create, we specify an existing database to attach to that will reattach the management server back to your existing database and go through the upgrades that are needed against that existing database. And then
we'll be able to get it back into the VMM console. Once we're inside the VMM 2012 SP1 console, we'd bring back in all of our host clusters and host servers and optionally deploy the new management agent, the new 2012 SP1 management agent out to those hosts and host clusters. We don't have to do the management agent deployment right away. We can wait on that, but keep in mind that any of the new capabilities of SP1, in order to deploy them to a host or to a library server, we will need the new management agent, the new SP1 version of the management agent on those boxes. After we've gone through the process of updating all of our agents, then we would go through the process of, in our library, going through and applying the appropriate updates to your VM templates and to any driver packages that you want to use as part of your operating system deployments for virtual machines. So a pretty logical sequence, but I'd highly recommend before beginning your upgrade, go out to the TechNet library, read through at least once all of the upgrade steps end to end, make sure you're doing the VMM upgrade in the appropriate order if you have other System Center 2012 RTM components already in your environment, and then plan a large enough upgrade window to allow you to step through all of these activities through conclusion. Young, from your standpoint, did you have any other guidance that you normally provide to IT pros for doing an upgrade of this nature?
I would just say that in this whole process, just remember, this is probably a good time to double check your database backup. Because right, a lot of times that database, you want to make sure you have the backup, you're able to restore it, because you may need to do that. So that would be something I said, you know, because that's the part I keep forgetting. I got everything ready, then my database is not ready. So that's probably something you want to pay attention to. This upgrade process is, it can be overwhelming, but, you know, do the planning, do the right thing. We need to move into SP1 as soon as possible, because just so much that come with it that really give us new scenario, new opportunity to really move to the next stage. It will be at a different level once you move into System Center 2012 SP1.
Absolutely. And if you're looking at all the great information you've been catching over the last three episodes and are anxious to begin building your own private cloud environment, your own lab environment, but don't have hardware locally in order to do it in, I'd encourage you to take advantage of our free step-by-step cloud lab guides, where you'll have an opportunity to leverage our Windows Azure platform for at least doing a pilot configuration of the System Center components to the point where you can at least experience the new user interface and be able to get accustomed to where you would go within the management interface for managing each major component. So you can go out at any point in time to our Cloud Lab link, pick the step-by-step labs that interest you most, sign up for a free Windows Azure 90-day trial, get access to some great compute and storage resources, up to 750 compute hours each month for 90 days, and up to 35 gig of replicated storage in the cloud for you to leverage for building out your own private cloud lab environment. In addition, as you're stepping through any of those step-by-step guides, if you need assistance, every Friday, Young, myself, and many of our other IT Pro technical evangelists are available as part of a Luncheon Lab Early Experts Virtual Study Hall. You can sign up for our Virtual Study Hall program, block it on your calendar, go into the Virtual Study Hall when you have time each Friday, begin the labs that you would have most interest in, and then as you have questions or issues or additional conversation topics around the labs that you're going through, one of our IT Pro technical evangelists will be available to help answer live questions and provide live feedback to you to help make sure that week over week you're using the time productively to learn about our latest Windows infrastructure and private cloud technologies. You can go out to Virtual Study Hall using the link that I have down at the bottom of the slide at any point in time to sign up for our next Virtual Study Hall session. Having said that, I'd like to thank you all for joining us today in Episode 3 on deploying and upgrading System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 Virtual Machine Manager. And certainly, Young, thank you as well for joining us and providing all of the great and wonderful insight that you've shared in building out your private cloud.
Well, thanks thank so much. You. Am I doing okay? Are you going to invite me back next time?
Definitely. Yep. Well, I definitely will. You've got some great insight and have been a great addition to our TechNet Radio series. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I look forward to seeing you in episode 4, where we'll begin talking about leveraging Virtual Machine Manager to bring in our storage and network and compute fabric and begin making that next step in our journey towards our private cloud. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.